series called Rough and Real. Can you say that with me? Rough and Real. We're on the Rough and Real Ranch. Amen. That's the brand. Amen. That's what I told Roger. We'll put this series. I said, can you make me a brand, like a brand and iron or something? So we're at the Rough and Real Ranch. Amen. So here we go. Tough talk from the book of James. James is a half-brother of Jesus. He is addressing he says 12 tribes scattered abroad. These are people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and now they're being hunted down like dogs. He actually was at ground zero. He was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. You want a tough church where they're coming every day trying to kill you? That was his church. And so he's talking to people that are suffering, that are hurting, that are suffering that you and I, because we live in America, we can't even relate to hardly. You know? Being murdered, being imprisoned, you know, whatever. Losing your business, family, turned on you, whatever. I mean, it was horrible. So he couldn't pussyfoot around. He was a tough guy. And he had some tough talk. He was not being mean. And so I want to tell y'all this morning, grow up. When you read the Bible, come on. Most people suffered incredibly. And that's why some of the things are in the Word. Not because God's trying to pick on you. He's trying to strengthen you. To help you to make it. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? This is one of those books. Okay? That's why God gave us His Word. Today the message is, real faith means what? Say it with me again. Real faith means what? That's what it means. Well, I love Jesus and all this. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Put your walk where the road is. Real faith. Well, I love Jesus. Amen. What is your life like? What are you doing? Does your life line up with your talk and your faith, say, so-called? That's what he's going to talk about today. One thing's for sure, James is saying, look, if you're really not a Christian, then why in the heck are you getting your head cut off? That's pretty stupid, isn't it? Amen? People that live the Christian life and act like they're Christian, that's the dumbest thing ever. If you're really not born again, that's crazy. Because we know that if you're a child of God, you surely shall suffer what? Persecution. So I've never understood that at all. I mean, let me tell you something. Now, you're being a fake, but you're going to like want some persecution. Are you crazy? Let's look at it. Here we go. First off, it starts, we did verses 1 through 16 already. Verse 17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Every good gift and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where does every good gift come from? Somebody take a wild guess. God. Every good thing in your life comes from God. You got that right, little guys. I love you out there. Come on. We just might build a talking church with you young people. Every good thing in your life comes from God. You don't have, yeah, you let him talk. I love that. I'll tell you when to hush. You're doing good, son. Come on. Listen, God is good. Say it with me. And God is good how? All the time. If when you suffer, Satan can get an in where now you start to think God's not good to you, then he's won. You cannot let that happen. He's talking to people who are suffering unbelievable things in their life. You cannot let that happen. God is good all the time. Are you telling me God's good even when bad things happen in my life? Absolutely. We get screwy in our Christianity. We think, somehow I'm a Christian and now God's supposed to let everything good to happen in my life. That's the dumbest thing on the planet. If I tell you what, the charismatic movement's made a lot of money out of that thought. Excuse me. Prosperity and all that. It's funny how that prosperity mess only works over here in America. It doesn't work for that African who doesn't have a bowl of rice to eat, but they're a child of God. You understand where I'm coming from? Yes or no? I don't get that. I don't get that God's just a big American God. I don't get that at all. I think our theology got screwed up along the way. Y'all hearing me? I know it's ugly. Okay, God is good all the time, regardless of your what? And you're suffering. You live in a sinful world. I live in a sinful world. We're around sinful people. We are sinners ourselves. Therefore, on a fallen planet, a cursed fallen planet, but everything's good. No, everything is not good. Got it? But God is good all the time. Okay? Because He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me. I have His Word. He did not leave me comfortless. He has sent me the Holy Spirit of the living God, not something so I can dance around and just look like a nut, but so I can make it through life. Amen? Y'all hearing me this morning? All right, I'm just trying to talk plain so we can all get it. This is good stuff. Keep looking. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. What does that mean? Here's what that means. God's greatest gift is salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. But this happened, and that happened. This happened. This happened. So no matter what you're going through, well, this happened and that happened. Hey, listen, this happened. So you can make it. Hearing me say, His greatest gift. Well, this got taken away or that got taken away. This didn't get taken away, did it? Say, His salvation. It was God's will. Can you imagine such a thing? It was God's will for His Son to be your sacrifice and my sacrifice. That was His will. It's my will, Son, that you go down there and you get spit on. You leave all this. You go down there. You're born as a little baby. Somebody just take their hands and just crush your head. That's how humble you're going to make yourself. Because I love people. I created them in my own image. And God, in His own foreknowledge and will and plan, with you not having zip to do with it, gave us His Son. Now, when we start looking at our problems and then we look at that, all of a sudden, wow, that's incredible. You understand? And that's what James is trying to do here. He's trying to get them, now think, people, think. Instead of just looking at your mess, think deeper. Let's keep looking. God wants us to have fellowship and a relationship with Him now and forever. And so He made it possible. Isn't that crazy? And that's very good, isn't it? Isn't that very good? On your worst day, if you'll think that God wanted to have fellowship with me and a relationship with me, and He did everything that was necessary to make that possible, and I don't have to do anything. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Wow, what a God that is. And it all of a sudden gets your head up a little bit. Got it? Yes or no? Now, this is the Bible. It ain't some little devotional book you read. This is the Word of God. See it this morning? It's incredible. Mitchell, my son, wrote a song years ago when he was a little boy. He was reading in the book of James. And it goes like this. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word, and deceive not your own selves. Why? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Imagine what a proud daddy I was when that little kid, Dad, I got a new song. Right from the Word. Right from the book of James. It was God's will that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature, of His creatures. What does that mean? Jesus would die. He would resurrect. And one day we're going to resurrect with Him. We're going to have our own resurrection. Absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord, but we're going to get a new body. We're going to live forever with God. That was God's big plan. Keep that in mind when they're coming to your house, James says, and they got the sword and the knife to your children's throat. You're going to see Jesus. This was His plan. Not for you to suffer. It was His plan to take you to heaven. For you to be with Him forever. I don't think we read the book of James sometimes with that in mind. We just read through it. You see where I'm coming from? That's rough and real right there, ain't it? That's going to the ranch. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. I know y'all are mad. I know you're angry. I know you're fighting back. I know you want to hurt. I know you want to strike back. James says, but that doesn't work the righteousness of God. Keep looking. Be swift to hear. What does that mean? Can you say that with me? Start what? Be slow to speak. Say it with me. Stop. Number three, be slow to wrath. Say it with me. Stop. Can we say those three yellow things one more time? Start listening. Stop talking. Stop blaming God for your mess. Mess happens. Amen? Don't blame the one who loves you, who can help you. That's craziness. But we do it all the time. Keep looking. Real faith listens. Real faith learns. Real faith loves God, not blames God. Y'all hearing me all right? Good. We're doing good this morning. We're just having some Bible study. Real faith means real action. That's right. If I have real faith, then that means I'm going to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's what it means. Keep looking. It means something else. James says, lay apart all filthiness. It's amazing when you talk too much and you don't listen to God's word and you start blaming God, don't be surprised if you don't get filthy. You hearing me? Yes or no? And you start justifying what you do and your actions. That's insanity. James says, listen, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and then, listen, lay apart that crap. Excuse me. And superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that some crazy words? And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It's incredible. What's he saying? Lay aside filthiness and naughtiness. Sometimes when we suffer, we think it's carte blanche. Anything goes now. I can do something. You know, somebody's hurt me, so I can just go do something. Can't do that. Say. I'm going through immense suffering. Had a guy come to the office the other day. He said, told Alex he felt sorry for me. He said, because when what I'm going through happened to him, he said at least he could get off work, go get hammered till 3 in the morning, drinking all night, till, you know, and then get up the next morning, roll out of bed, so he could just sort of put his sorrow away by drinking. He said, I feel sorry for Pastor because he don't get to do that. Good is right. Amen? When we struggle, or you struggle, I struggle, that doesn't give us a card to go and do whatever we want to do. That's insanity. Amen? Aren't we like that, though? Aren't we, though? Come on. Poor me. Victim. Idiot. Amen? Come on. Yes, sir. Receive humbly. When you suffer, the pure word of God. That's what you need. Amen? That's what you need. This week, the Lord just... I wake up a lot. It's either the devil that wakes me or the Lord. One night this week... How many can agree with me on that one? Yeah, I know. I see some heads shaking. But you know what? The Lord woke me this one night this week, and He just gave me an incredible scripture. But He's not going to give you the scripture unless you read the word. It's got to be engrafted. You've got to take the effort and put the word of God in you, and then you'd be surprised how the Holy Spirit will call that word back out of you. Amen? What aggravates me is somebody comes up to me and said, I got a word from the Lord. But it ain't in the word. How do I know? Now I know I'm not going to accept what you say. If it's not backed up with the word of God. Y'all hearing me? I want a word from the Lord, all right, but I want it to be from the word of the Lord. He woke me up, and the beautiful thing is, you'll get a word from the Lord, but it'll be His word, and then He will help you understand the word. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And that's a beautiful thing, and He will help you apply it in a way that doesn't even seem like it is what it meant. That's a word from the Lord. Come on. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his face in a glass or a mirror. For behold, he beholds himself in the mirror. He goes his way. He straightway forgets what manner of man he was when he looked at himself in the mirror. Amen. What's that mean? Let's talk about it. Be doers, not just hearers, James is saying. Especially when you're suffering, when you're hurting. Listen, you need to be a doer. When you're suffering, do. Do. Do what's right. Then do it some more. Amen? Do something else. Make sure it's right. Then do some more. Amen? Be doers, man. Hearers deceive themselves. I'm the worst at this. I can hear all kinds of voices. I'm my own worst enemy many times. Y'all listening or not? Hearers only deceive themselves. Hearing the word, and that's all you do, you don't do anything with it, then you hear other mess. Hearers deceive themselves. Hearers only believe themselves. If you don't do and put to action your faith, don't be surprised if you're not, you might have started with Jesus over here, but then when the fire gets on you, you're way over here somewhere and you're a long way away from him, and buddy, you're in trouble then. You start just doing and believing what you want to believe about you, and you're not putting into practice the word of God. That's not good. So James didn't, he does feel sorry for these people. He does love them, and they are suffering, but he's a good coach. He's not being a bad coach. He's basically helping them be winners. You know, he couldn't make the pain go away and he couldn't make the suffering go away, but he could help them become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and they can make it. That's the plan. Hearers only believe themselves to be somebody they ain't. That's bad. Try that word, man. Hear that word and put that word into practice and let it get inside of you, and all of a sudden it'll show you who you are. What do I mean? It's like somebody getting up in the morning. The beautiful thing about the Word of God is when you look into the Bible, it'll show you who you are. And that Scripture's saying, when you go up in the morning and you look at yourself and you all a mess, your teeth are all cakey and all this mess, you know? Your hair, if you got some, is crooked and sleep in your eyeballs. You know, and you're smelling, you know, you look like, you know. If you don't do anything about yourself and you go throughout the day and think you are okay, everybody else is going to go. And that's how God is with us. He's like, man, you're hearing the word, but you're not doing the word. And so, you know what? Yeah, I am over here. Because your breath stinks, your life stinks, your eyes don't see right. And that's no place for you to be with me. You need to be your best for me, especially when you're suffering. You need to be right here with me. You need to be able to be just like that with God when you're suffering. Amen? Say. He don't want you to be there if your breath is all smelly. Got it? Say. He wants you to, if you're going to be like this, he wants you to be your best, regardless of what's going on. Amen? Real faith means real action. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, say it with me, shall be blessed in his deed. Hear and what? One more time. Hear and one more time. Hear and it's what you're supposed to do, man. It's what James is telling us. Real faith really works. Let's close with a couple of scriptures, I think. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, he's giving you some clues if you really hear and do. This is good. If any man seems to be religious, but he doesn't watch his mouth, he deceives his own heart, and this man's religion is what? You can come to church, you can do whatever you want to do, you can act so spiritual, but let me tell you something. Your mouth or your words will give you away. If you're really a doer of the word, and your religion is in vain, what does that mean? Useless. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, is to visit the fatherless. What's that talking about?
Now, we've made it something different, and it's okay. This has a lot of application. But it basically means they came the other night, and they took little Joseph's daddy, and they killed him. And now that little boy don't have a daddy because he believed in Jesus. That's what this is talking about. Don't leave that little family over there. They've been suffering so much. Go see them. Instead of talking how bad you got it, how bad somebody else is in the church, go help. You see what James is talking about? It's all right to go to the nursing homes, and that's sort of what this means too, but it really means a whole lot more than going to the nursing home. Excuse me. And the orphanage. Now, these were the kids two doors down whose mom and dad had been hauled away and butchered. Got it? Yes or no? And to visit the widows, what does that mean? They killed the husband and left the woman alive. What are you going to do? You going to talk? Or you going, look at this, I'm a Christian. Shut up. Do something! Get up! Let's go, man! Still feel the intensity? Amen. I almost wish I was there. Could go with them. You know? But we're here. And we have to go where we can go. And help those that need help. Got it? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself what? Unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. Jesus has saved you. Don't let him save you in vain. Don't let him die in vain. Let him in your deepest hour of suffering help refine you and keep you unspotted. It's incredible. Chapter 2, we're done. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and they were, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. It's alone, man. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith. By my works, James says. Strong guy, isn't he? Thou believest that there is one God? Yeah. So does the devil. Get out of my face. James says. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's devil level. Remember that sermon I taught at devil level? Are you at devil level or are you beyond that? Devils believe. James says, go beyond devil level. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the what? Friend of God. That's how you become God's friend. Hear and do. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith what? That's right. You are justified by your works as well to other people. We don't do that to please them. We don't do that to get credit. But it is part of our faith, is works. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Here's a harlot. When she had received the messengers and sent them out another way, read that sometime. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead what? Also, pretty good, Raj. I like this morning. Real faith really works. Real faith, say it with me, means real. I'm going to just tell you straight up this morning. I write these things, and then I get up here. That may have been the clearest I've ever understood that passage in my whole life, and I didn't have that understanding until I got here on the stage this morning. I'm telling you that right now. So the Lord helped me today. I'll tell you that right now. And I don't care if you didn't agree with it. It doesn't bother me a bit. I know the Lord was in that word. Amen. Come on. Stand on up with me. Praise God.